Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, let's bring Matt George in. He's scrambling to tweet and podcast and break news for ABC 10. And Matt, I was just texting our friend Jill Adge a second ago, and I was like, I can't remember a Kings season going this bad this quickly.
Well, first off, if you could refer to me by my Google name at MattGeorge1323, I'd really appreciate it.
My apologies.
There's 1,322 of us apparently. this has gone like even the most pessimistic of us were like, yeah, this probably isn't going to work. This might be a rough year, but I don't know if 3-12 and no Keegan Murray through the first 15 games, Domantas Sabonis out spottingly for the first 15 games and now out for the next 3 to 4 weeks. It's the worst start to the Kings season since 1990-1991, which if you really put that into perspective, that means the entire playoff drought, the NBA record playoff drought, the Kings never started this bad. That includes a season where the Kings won just 17 games. And you remember what happened that season? They fell to the fourth pick, which was the worst possible lottery odds that the Kings could have. So we went through some dark times during that nearly 20-year stretch, and the Kings were never this bad through the first 15 games of the season, which really puts things into perspective. But yeah, man, I mean, this is a point where I know obviously the team's on the road, so they can't all gather around a conference table, but maybe Scott Perry and Vivek Ranadive and all the brass are traveling right now or enjoying Memphis, Tennessee, and they can all get into a room and sit around the table and goes, guys, it is what it is. Like, this is where we're at. This is the reality of the situation. It's time to just embrace and accept that this season is a wash. It's not about basketball from here on out, except for the guys playing who we believe are going to be a part of the core going forward. That's Keegan Murray. That's Nick Clifford. That's Maxime Reyneau. I'll even throw Keon Ellis in there because, like I've shared many times, I understand the plan to be extending Keon when they are eligible to extend him if he wants to later on in the season. So the basketball is important for those guys. But everything else is about Scott Perry, this front office, and addressing the needs of this organization and restarting going forward. The writing's on the wall. And if there's any positivity in this, guys, one, it's the fact that this is a very strong draft. Two, the Kings have full control over their draft picks going forward. Three, believe it or not, as much as this roster is not good, they have a number of tradable assets that can get them some sort of return, even if it's a couple second round picks. Like, you have tradable assets that I do believe teams will be interested in. And finally, it's not like you're embracing this reality in January when you're two games out of the play-in spot. Like, you're not in the no man's land middle of the pack. You are in the cellar of the standings, meaning you have great draft lottery odds. It is better now to be where the Kings are at, believe it or not, standing wise, than it would be for them to be a little more competitive and a little closer to 500 as we expected them to be. So accept the reality for what it is and proceed accordingly. And like, I think there's an also an element of that is, I think an honest conversation needs to happen between Doug Christie and Scott Perry and even Vivek Ranadive if he wants to sit at the table. And I think what Vivek and Scott and management owes to Doug Christie is, hey, we're giving you the confidence, we're giving you the support, we're giving you the green light. Prioritize now playing the pieces that we believe are going to be a part of the future. That doesn't mean Zach LaVine gets 0 minutes and DeMar DeRozan gets 0 minutes. Those guys still play, but they don't have to play 35 minutes a night. And you don't have to be afraid that losing basketball games right now means you're not going to have a job in the, after your this two guaranteed years of your contract. Like, give Doug Christie the confidence that he does not have to win with this horrible veteran roster in order to keep his job. Like, let him do what needs to be done for this organization going forward. I think, I hope everybody just recognizes where they're at and where they should go from here.
Real quick, Jaren Jackson Jr. officially ruled out tonight. Even if that remotely still matters.
No, it matters. Yeah, it's good.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is out tonight.
Matt, do you think this changed their approach? Like Sabonis going down, do you think this changed Scott Perry's approach? Vivek, Doug Christie, whoever, and I asked that question saying, do you think they were already kind of on the time of, nah, it's time to, you know, think about the future?
I think they were probably walking the tightrope, and then this news just should push them over the edge. Because, what I was curious about is there was always this element of, when Keegan Murray comes back, see what you have, right? See, you throw your original starting lineup out there that you went through the entire training camp with. Just see what you have. And I don't think anybody expected Keegan Murray to come back and save the sinking ship or anything like that. But the way I looked at it, what I talked about on Locked On Kings a couple episodes ago, is there should have been a short-term and a long-term plan for Keegan Murray's return. I think the short-term is you take 10 to 15 games. And again, this was assuming that Domantas Sabonis was fine and was going to be okay and was going to play through like he always has. Like, bring Keegan Murray back in, and for 10 to 15 games, plug him into the initial role with that initial lineup and see how it impacts how they play. Like, there should be some things that are immediately better. The defense should be at least a little bit better. The rebounding should be at least a little bit better with Keegan Murray out there. The spacing should be at least a little bit better. Does that mean the Kings are going to start winning basketball games? Probably not. But see how Domas or LaVine or Malik or any of these guys that you're quote unquote evaluating right now, see how they benefit from playing with Keegan Murray, who you do believe is going to be part of your long-term plan, and use that context to help further your decision of who you want to keep and who you need to move on from going forward. Now that Domas is gone for the next 3 to 4 weeks, likely the next month, which puts you firmly in December, firmly into trade season. We're talking about him coming back after Christmas time or around Christmas time. Like, at that point, I think what the Kings are waiting on to make moves is not Scott Perry to go, okay, now I'm ready to trade DeMar. I think it's, okay, now a team is ready to trade for DeMar because they know what they have or they know where they're at or what they need going forward, right? That's kind of, as we talked about last week, that's why the Kings are in this evaluation period, is it takes two to tango. They can't just force other teams to be ready to trade for their assets. So to answer your question, KC, I think the Kings always kind of had an idea of where they were headed. And now that Keegan's back and immediately the same game he comes back, they lose Domas for almost around a month. I think they can go, yeah, like, it doesn't matter. By the time Domas gets back, we probably should be feeling pretty good about being able to move some of these players.
What do you think they do? This was, we're laughing through the pain. Like, what do you want?
That's all,
like,
we can do.
They're 15 games in and it's over. But we were talking, like, some jokingly, some not, about, like, what do you do now? Like, you, with DeMar, Russ, now Precious, Isaac Jones in the past. You have like a multitude of options depending on matchups that you could have done there at the four. You can't really do that at the five. Is it as simple as Drew Eubanks is your starting center moving forward? Or, you know, do we see something? Do you think we see something a little more creative from this team in this front office?
I mean, I think for the time being, it has to be Drew. Like, Maxime Raynaud getting more playing time doesn't mean, all right, Max, you're starting. Here's 35 minutes a night. Good luck, kid. Like, that's, I don't think we have to go fully over the edge there. I do believe the young guys should and hopefully will start playing more. That doesn't mean that they're going to start and that DeMar is going to move to the bench or Zach's going to move to the bench or anything like that. Like, it doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. Like, I think Kings fans are ultimately going to start to get now what they want. And it's not going to be fun to watch. Like, growing pains are not fun to watch. Now, it's easier in theory to, I can stomach the Kings losing, but seeing the young guys play because I can apply future context to that. I get that. But it's not going to be good. It's not going to be fun. There are going to be moments. There are going to be flashes. Like, I hope to see Nick Clifford get the confidence to shoot 15 times and hopefully score 20 points. That'd be awesome. Like, but those moments are going to be few and far between. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't happen or that the Kings shouldn't start to play these guys more. But I'm not expecting a, all right, even though the writing's on the wall, now Maxime is going to start because Domas is out and Keegan Murray should be out there with Neat Clifford in the starting lineup. And Russell Westbrook, I'm glad you're here. Enjoy your 15 minutes a night and then sit on the bench and collect your paycheck. Like, that's just not realistic. The good news is the Sacramento Kings don't have to drastically change what they're doing to quote unquote tank or to lose basketball games. Now they can just make adjustments that, again, Doug Christie needs to have the confidence from the front office to make the needed adjustments to. I'm going to take some minutes from these top guys and distribute them amongst the young guys, because that's what ultimately helps us today, helps us tomorrow. And I'm not a subscriber to any belief that playing Zach LaVine and playing DeMar DeRozan or any of these guys right now is good to increase their trade value. Like, all 29 general managers in the league know exactly who these players are and have a pretty good understanding or idea of what that player would bring to their roster and therefore what that player is worth. Like, every team who's interested in having a scorer off the bench knows exactly who DeMar DeRozan is and has a pretty solid idea of who Malik Monk is too. So Malik and DeMar playing 25 to 35 minutes, it's not going to change things. That being said, they should still be playing 15, 20, 25 minutes because of who they are. It's not like their minutes are just going to simply go down to zero or should go down to zero. That's just not realistic.
Do you think, we asked this question earlier, do you think that you can accurately assess Doug Christie because of all this?
Yeah, I stand by what I said going into the season with you guys, right? I still don't think like Doug can fail. Like, how can we look at everything that's going on with this roster and say it's Doug Christie's fault? Like, we don't have to make excuse. It's not an excuse to acknowledge he's never had a healthy roster, while also knowing full well that even if he did have a healthy roster, probably wouldn't have been much better. Because like we were talking about before Doug inherited this roster, it's a hodgepodge, island of misfit toys, whatever like metaphor we wanted to use for a collection of talent that individually is very, very good. But as a team, they're not. Like, I laid this out on the podcast last night. Individually, each one of these players have specific strengths. DeMar DeRozan, incredible mid-range isolation scorer. Zach LaVine, incredible three-level scorer, or at least he's supposed to be when he's actually shooting the basketball. Domantas Sabonis, incredible rebounder and great passer for a center. Like, you can go down and identify the individual strengths of each of these players. But as a team, do the Kings have a strength? No, they don't. And saying, well, offense is their strength. They can score the basketball. Can they? Because they haven't been. They're one of the worst offenses in the league. And they're very easy to game plan against. Pack the paint, dare them to shoot. Hopefully Keegan Murray coming back helps that a little bit. But Keegan Murray's never going to save this team. And we knew that, even if he's shooting 15 to 20 times a game. So, like, I don't think Doug Christie can fail with this group. I think Doug Christie's job is very specific now. It's usher in the new era while respectfully showing the veterans who aren't part of it the door. And this is where Doug's being a relatable former player, someone who has the respect of that locker room, I think this is where we're going to feel that value the most. We felt that value when Mike Brown was fired and he managed to somehow right that ship a little bit and get that team to somehow be above 500 for the remainder of that season. A lot of that was personality driven. Now Doug Christie's personality needs to shine through to hopefully keep this group as together and motivated as possible to accomplish each of their individual goals at this point. Because I look at this locker room and I see a bunch of individuals with individual goals for the remainder of the season, not a team that's unified to win basketball games. That just sounds like empty words.
Is it too controversial to say we don't know that Doug has the respect of that locker room?
No,
I've seen these guys go out there and half-ass it in like fourth quarters and halves and entire games. Like, I wouldn't do that for a coach that I respected.
I think these Kings players disrespect the Kings as an organization and disrespect the Kings as an identity more than they do Doug Christie as the coach of that organization identity. Because every single one of these players will be able to go to their agent or go to their friends or go to their next team and go, yeah, it didn't work, but it's Sacramento. Like, DeMar DeRozan has a career of success, and it has not worked at all since he was traded here. And are the history books ever going to blame DeMar DeRozan for that? No, they're going to blame the Sacramento Kings for that, and every player is aware of that. So I don't think they're disrespecting Doug Christie. I don't think they're motivated to give their all for Doug Christie like Doug expects or wants because of the circumstances, because of the situation. And like I said to you guys at the beginning of the season too, if any of those players, if it ever comes up that any of those players are that Doug's lost the locker room or they don't want to play for Doug, hey man, pack your bags and we'll try and send you to the best place that we can that makes sense for you and makes sense for us. We're going to try and do right by you, but ultimately we have to do right by us as an organization too. Like, I don't care. A lot of the players that are here were kind of responsible for the exit of the last coaching staff and the last coaching regime. Mm-hmm. So they need to wear that too. And ultimately it's going to all fall under the umbrella of Sacramento Kings ineptitude. And here we are again.
Man, goodness gracious. This all happened.
The season's
so fast.
Like a month old, yeah,
and,
by the way.
And that's what I mean when I talk about this happened. Like, the season is ended.
It's going to be spring when we stop doing this. We're going to have Christmas, New Year's, Valentine. Kids are going to be on spring break, and then finally we'll be on to something else.
Man, so Matt, help us out here. Help, you know, the listening public out. What are you watching for with this team moving forward? Like, what are outside of it being, you know, your job, what are you trying to see when you watch this team on a nightly basis?
If they're still going to be on the same channel as the San Jose Sharks, so I can flex them out and watch the Sharks play. No.
Go Sharks!
I'm not a hockey guy at all. I know nothing about the Sharks. God, I don't know. I think I'm watching Scott Perry. I'm watching this front office. Like, all eyes are on this front office. Now, everything on the court just seems pretty inconsequential. I'm looking at each player individually for specific things if I believe those players will be around long term. I'm watching the trade deadline to see if Scott lives up to his words. Whatever moves he's able to make, do they fit that plan? Like, does it make sense? I guess that's the answer, Casey. The remainder of this season, I want to make sense from the context of what management is telling me. Every player that they trade for either needs to fit that vision or make sense as to why they would acquire that player. For example, if they don't fit the vision, but they're a high money expiring contract that you needed to bring in order to move Domas or Zach LaVine or something. Okay, they're going to fall off the books anyway. Same way I kind of look at Dario Saric. Like, I don't think Dario Saric fits the vision at all for Doug Christie and Scott Perry here. But I know he's got $5 million this year, and next year he's gone, and we never have to think about him again. Like, so if you go out and get a player like that, that at least makes sense to me because you're opening up your books. But if you're actually acquiring a young player for Malik Monk or DeMar DeRozan trade, does that young player fit the mold of what you're trying to do? Or is it another 6'4" guard that you're just like, well, here we go again? It's the same recycled thing. Like, I'm going to judge everything that the Sacramento Kings do from here on out as, does it fit what the consistent, or the only thing that we have to look forward to in the future is this image or idea of what the Sacramento Kings are supposed to be under Scott Perry. So do their moves now fit that narrative or fit that idea? If they don't, I better be able to come up with a good explanation, or the Kings better be able to provide a good explanation of why they're making that move right now and how it does fit the plan. Because a lot of the moves that they've made over the last 6 to 12 months really haven't fit any sort of long-term plan.
Why do you think Zach LaVine is protesting playing basketball right now?
I guess this might just be who he is. Like, you guys remember last season, the final third of the season after the Kings traded for him, he had that week and a half where he just stopped shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, okay, like Doug Christie used the, not excuse, but said like, Zach's trying to be a good teammate. He's trying to fit in. Okay, I can understand that. Zach just moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, Chicago to Sacramento, after his wife just had a child. Like, okay, a lot of life circumstances at the end of a kind of a lost season, even though Zach was putting up great numbers. Okay, we can kind of accept that. Yeah, that's gone. And talking to some friends from Chicago, like, no, that Zach would do this. Even when he was shooting 45% from three-point range, there would be a week where his shooting percentage would still be good. He just, the volume would not be there. And that's what's so perplexing is Zach LaVine's averaging like 14.7 points per game during the seven-game losing streak. But he's shooting 46 or like 47% from the field. He's still shooting efficiently, but he's not shooting. He's shooting 11 times a game. Like, he should be at 15+. He's averaging 15 field goal attempts a game. And if he's shooting 11 right now and shooting 11 per game over the seven game stretch, that just goes to show you how much he was shooting early in the season when he was averaging 30 points. This just might be who Zach LaVine is, right? Like, he is not going to give you the same amount of volume for 82 games. And I mean, a part of LaVine's reputation is he's a guy that will put up numbers on a bad team or against bad teams in a rather meaningless game, but in important games that you won't really notice him. You won't really see him. So, hey man, that's the player that you decide to trade De'Aaron Fox for. And I know Fox had his own reputation for taking games off and not giving 100% himself, but
I long for those days.
Here's where you are. Like, no, but what did I say on this show, D'Lo? It wasn't about like, don't trade De'Aaron Fox. He's the greatest king of all time. It was, do not mess this trade up because it can set you back for years. And there's no reason to believe that the way this season has started and the work that Scott Perry has to put in, that we're not in year, what is it, two, three? If we don't include the play-in, year three of a playoff drought. Like, here we go again. There's no reason to believe that this is not going to take years for Scott Perry to clean up, and hopefully he can do so effectively. And hopefully, what I reported and shared with you last week, that ownership has given him the time to do this effectively. Hopefully that's not just words. There's actual action behind it. Because when this is still ugly a year to 2 years from now, but hopefully there's young players to get excited about and you're going somewhere, when this is still ugly and King's ticket sales are down and the team is losing for the third straight year, hopefully there's not panic from up top and you just let it play out and let it ride out.
I have great news, KC. Mm-hmm. I thought of this last night. I can't remember how long it was, but remember Jimmy Butler bailed out Minnesota from having the longest playoff drought.
That's right.
They made the playoffs with Jimmy, then went on to miss the playoffs for the next three seasons. Guys, we're right on track.
That's it.
Everything's fine. And before you know it, we'll be in two straight NBA finals, and some guy in Minnesota will go, yeah, I don't think Sacramento's very good.
but didn't they had the number one overall pick? Didn't that happen?
They picked right.
Yeah, they picked right.
They picked right.
They got it right.
They didn't listen to Steve Kerr, huh? Do you remember that story when Steve?
I do remember that story.
Well, Steve told Ant we would not draft you because you're not focused enough or whatever.
Yeah,
and Ant tells that story with pride because he said that's what kind of woke him up. So shout out Steve Kerr.
Shout out Steve Kerr. Just find out who he wouldn't draft this time when you
and take that guy.
Hey,
who's the Rudy Gobert we're going to trade for though?
Oof. Oh boy.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later, guys.
LaMelo
it's fine.
Ball.
Anthony Davis?
Yes. Oh, gosh, Anthony Davis. Well, no, wait a minute. Never mind. Goodness gracious. That's a tough one. Matt, you still got podcasts to do, man. You can't bail out.
Like the Panthers podcast.
Yeah, you can't quit like the Panthers guys did.
We're not quitting. We're in it, baby. I was born in the dark. I thrive in it. No, we're going to try and, like you said, kind of laugh our way through the pain and have fun. And hopefully things are simplified and we can enjoy things for what they are. And then when trades start happening and moves start happening, we'll see what happens.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Both are smiling. Did I say
something? No, you didn't. You didn't say anything at all. I'm just looking at some of our notes for the show that, like, for things that we were going to do today. And, you know, the Domas stuff, like, obviously, sometimes you just got to adjust. You got to ditch what you planned. And, like, I'm looking at, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense anymore. Because you can't, like, one of the things was, like, if the Kings, if I said, what would it take for the Kings to turn around this season? What would your answer be? This makes no sense anymore because they can't do it. Yeah. Like, Domas is a player who you, it's not happening. You don't, I'd feel differently. And I've made jokes about this. I'll say this and I'll leave it alone. I'd feel differently if Jonas Valanciunas was still here. Mm. He's a starting center. Like, I know he played the backup role in Sacramento. Obviously, he's playing, you know, a backup role to arguably the greatest player in the world. That's fine. Jonas Valanciunas is a starting caliber center in the NBA. I would feel very, very different if he was still a Sacramento King. And I'd still say, maybe you can get some stability with Keegan Murray. Maybe you can get some things worked out. Is it going to be at a great clip? No. But the way the bottom of the West looks like, who knows? Maybe they are competing for a play-in in the final handful of weeks of the season. I don't feel like you can have that conversation with Domantas Sabonis out. Yeah. I feel like you could have had it with DeMar out, maybe even with Zach LaVine out. I don't feel like you could do it with Domantas Sabonis.
But what if we adjust the definition of what turn around the season means through, like, win and loss standpoint and getting this team back into the even the play-in picture at this point, throw that out the window. Mm-hmm. But would it be considered turning around the season for Scott Perry to find a way to bring in a 23-year-old or younger with upside to plug next to a Keegan or a Neek or both? And just give you something to at least be a little curious about or excited about going forward. Because I think that's what so many Kings fans are frustrated about. Sure. Is I look at this roster and I know what they are, so I'm not curious about anything. I'm not excited about anything. I know, like, this name is exhausting to everybody, but believe it or not, after the Warriors signed Jonathan Kuminga to a contract that they want that would help them make a trade, the Golden State Warriors are opening to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Shocking. So I don't know how the Kings do it. I don't know how it gets done. But I'm not saying Kuminga specifically, but I'm saying a Kuminga-esque player. Someone who's young with upside. Bring them here to Sacramento. I'm not saying the basketball would be better or even that much fun. But give me a different reason to watch this game or watch this team for the final 40, 50 games of the season or whatever after the trade deadline. That, to me, is turning around the season to some capacity. Because now I've got something to watch that's different that I can at least apply. Because we sat through years upon years upon years of the Kings being bad, but young De'Aaron Fox was on the team. Young DeMarcus Cousins was on the team. Even, I don't know, when young Buddy Hield, like all these players that were drafted that didn't end up working out, but at least we sat through a season with the context of what is that player, what can they become? That's what the Kings need to do. That's that on the floor, that is the best thing the Kings can do for themselves this season is go out and Scott Perry needs to find a guy. He doesn't have to have all the upside on the planet, but find a guy that fits that mold going forward that's 23 or younger. Bring him to Sacramento and let Kings fans be curious about what that can be.
Yeah, I think the answer to your question is yes. Because I think that would bring a level of excitement for Kings fans. Get a young player here. You're getting to see what you asked for to begin with. Sure.
Can I ask you guys a question?
No.
You just did.
That's true. I did just ask a question. Would you guys even consider trading for LaMelo Ball?
Oh God!
You gotta stop, Kenny.
I knew it. I knew when I saw just, that breaking news today.
Well, no. It only came up because you just said. Like,
do you think LaMelo Ball would get the fan base excited?
A segment of the fan base. I mean, I like him. I'm not sure I would. And
is LaMelo better than Trey?
Man, that's tough. They're about the same.
Kind of the same player.
They're about the same, and LaMelo's taller and younger.
How tall is LaMelo? 6'8".
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, excuse me, sir. LaMelo just turned 24. He no longer makes the cut.
Doesn't make the cut.
Technicality.
Doesn't make the cut.
Yep.
Nope.
Doesn't make
Get
the
him
cut.
Out of here. Get
yeah,
him out
I like I like LaMelo, and I don't even know if I'd trade for him.
Are you sure?
What
was the conversation?
Oh, he loves LaMelo. Yeah, he loves LaMelo.
No, I'm being sarcastic because I remember a certain conversation about LaMelo being one of the most influential players in the league or something like that during the offseason. I wanted to yell at you.
With children.
Influential. Oh, I don't know about it. That's the right word, but I get what you're saying. And he can play. You just can't trust that guy, though. You can't trust him right now.
If LaMelo's sick of Charlotte, I don't think Sacramento's the easiest sell on the planet to you. Hey, bud.
Back in California, that would be the only thing that might get him hyped up. But
yeah, enjoy the state tax.
Right.
<Ooh. laughs> Well, I think Carolinas have taxes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like California, though.
No, there's nothing like California, except Connecticut. I think Connecticut's the only one that is as bad or worse.
D'Lo, you're a little rough on yourself. I mean, there's things that still work in the rundown. You look at there's nothing this team does well. They don't shoot well. There's no movement in offense. They have one of the worst offenses and one of the worst defenses in the league. That still applies.
Mm, yeah, good job, D'Lo.
Thank you. I just feel like all conversations of turning this thing around have to stop.
Oh, no, that don't work.
Are you ready to do 4 hours a day on that exact point until April?
No.
How much vacation time you got?
No, what we're going to do is we're going to weigh the credence that Off the Wall might be a better album than Thriller.
About to say. It's the NBA hour with D'Lo and KC.
Yeah, we got the NBA hour. We got Entertainment Tonight. And then the rest will be used to cover football. Nick Cattle's always wanted it to be a football market. Well, buddy, we got you. Congratulations. Here we are.
I'm taking the kiddo to Disneyland. We're leaving on Saturday, and I could not have planned a better time for this vacation. I'm missing two Kings games. Oh, no.
Not missing anything.
Yeah, not fun. Wait, when are you guys going?
We leave Saturday.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. I think
Wednesday.
It's okay. I think they're playing Minnesota again. You're not actually missing anything. You just have to draw back on the on the notes from the game prior.
The two games I'm missing are Denver for the third time and Minnesota for the third time. I'm just
Oh, my God.
I'm just fine. Been there, done that.
Oh, my God. Goodness gracious.
If you missed the Locked On Kings podcast, just go back to the last time those two teams played.
Have we talked,
the same thing.
Have we talked about Dylan with Matt? I don't think we have.
Cardwell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you – do we see him now a little bit more kind of in the mix with the big club, given that they could use a – you know, a big body? And I was saying earlier, like, I recognize his flaws. Like, I see them, but he has a ton of energy. And if we're about vibes and fun, I like Dylan. Throw him out there.
Dylan Cardwell was Doug Christie's KZ Akpala. Like, just starting the season.
Oh, no, don't be anybody's KZ Akpala.
And then just never played again and then disappeared inside. No, remember, as a two-way player, he only has a certain amount of days that he can suit up and be available. And the Kings burned through a lot of those days in the first few weeks of the season, so they had to kind of dial it back a little bit. I think the correct answer is yes to some extent, but like Dylan was getting more playing time than Maxime Raynaud at the time. And I think we understand Dylan's skill sets at the NBA level more than Maxime's, but we also know that Maxime's ceiling is or we believe Maxime's ceiling to be a lot higher than Dylan's is. So if Dylan's getting more playing time, that's fine. I hope it's not more than Maxime Raynaud's. And like we talked about earlier, at least for the short term, I don't see Maxime Raynaud playing more than like Drew Eubanks right now. So I think Dylan is good where he's at, and he's doing great in the G League. And hopefully the Stockton Kings can give us something exciting to root for, because it won't be happening here in Sacramento. But I think Dylan will be part of the process, but I wouldn't look to him as like, there's the answer. He gets a lot more playing time.
Well, no, I'm definitely not suggesting he could be an answer. I was just like, well, why not more than anything else? Well, and I guess.
But that's the same thing with Max. That like for me, Max 25 minutes. Why not? Max, by the way, almost played 20 minutes last night. Played like 8.5.
Yeah.
He's the only positive plus minus on the team. Knocked down the three. Looked good. Needs more than 4 rebounds in 18 minutes, but we'll get there.
And that's going to be
Chet Holmgren knocking down threes and not rebounding.
That's something that's going to frustrate me for Max, and it's something that has frustrated me since I see he's not a good rebounder to be 7-1 or whatever he is. And that's
we spotted that in summer league. Like he can't grab the basketball.
Well, he needs to get stronger too. Like he just gets pushed around and he needs to hit the weight room. We already knew this. Like he just he needs to get stronger and he needs to have more of a presence in the paint. But he looks a whole heck of a lot more comfortable with the NBA game now than he did those first couple weeks of the season. And all you can ask for as a guy like that is you see tangible growth. We've seen it. Still got a long way to go, but he looks like a lot more comfortable player now. Now we just need Nick Clifford to be a little more comfortable, because he does not really look comfortable right now. Or I think comfortable, like being aggressive and shooting the basketball in a way that's like, this is what we need from you off the bench. He still looks like he's a little timid to maybe take that shot when DeMar DeRozan's there on the floor with him, or Zach LaVine's on the floor with him. Take that shot, Rook.
Good thing about Nick, though, he maybe even more so than Max, is he's shown signs.
Oh, 100%.
Like he has games where it's like, hey, this is going to be a good basketball player right here.
No, he's capable of playing the NBA game. That's not what I'm saying. Like he looks like an NBA player out there. Now the next level for him is just the confidence to be more than just a role player. Like, hey, go out and go try some things. Like that's what the rest of the season should be for. Try some things. Throw up some crazy shots. Go 4-for-15 in a game. I don't care. Try it. That's what's next for Neek.
The Kings will not have suffered any worse injuries than the ones that they have the first 11 weeks of the season.
True.
Like, whatever happens next, no matter what it is, it's not that bad.
Not that bad.
Like, it literally, like, between Keegan and Domas, as long as Keegan's relatively healthy, they should be okay. As long as Domas is relatively healthy, okay. The NBA God said no, dog.
No.
No. Go to hell.
We got that out the way. Now in January, we can move on with the rest of the season.
Well, basketball doesn't really start till after Christmas, so good news for Kings fans.
Well, let's put it this way. The two most irreplaceable players on the roster are the two guys that they can least afford to lose. They've lost for extended periods of time. So, hey, basketball gods are saying, Kings, accept what you are and get that tank started. So maybe the basketball gods are showing us some love finally. To tankathon, everybody.
Well, no, maybe Scott Perry should listen. Oh, maybe the Kings organization should listen.
And we get the 8th pick.
Also,
after all it is.
That's a June conversation. Mentally prepare yourself, Kings fans. Nothing goes our way.
We're doing a live tankathon sim right now just to see. Okay, Kings are in fifth best odds. Survey says they move down to six. All right.
Yeah. No, great, Matt. That's a great way to end the show. Very
Brooklyn. Oh, no, this is good. Brooklyn won. Utah jumped up eight spots, and New Orleans gets the third pick, which goes to Atlanta. That's good. That's good. That's good.
I just did one. I got them to four. They're at four.
This is so sad.
Yeah. This is great.
Let's do
Thursday, November 20th, the day that basketball died.
Ooh, Kings dropped down to seven in this one. Washington wins.
How about you stop, Matt? How about that? You know what? We'll see.
I just did it too. I got seventh as well.
Oh, I got ninth.
Bro, just end the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.